Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome our poetry panel to the show. They're here to offer their own poetry favorites, and we're asking you to join us in this poetry potluck. You could call in with published poems from a known author that speak to you. Again, we welcome your favorite short published poems. You know, if you wrote something last night on a cocktail napkin, I'm not saying it's not great. What I'm saying is this is not the forum for that. Lord knows I've written some of my best stuff after a couple of pops. But no, it's got to be a published author, not you.
Me too.
You see? The number to reach us, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Before we get to the phones, I want to allow our terrific panel of guests to introduce themselves and provide us, well, we'll do the announcements later. We'll do some readings in a moment. But first, let's meet the panel, and we start with Paul himself.
Himself is very happy to be here today.
It's Paul Elisha.
All of you. And I've been known to read a few poems now and then and to interview a few poets now and then.
Indeed.
And I'd be lost without the two people who have joined us here today, who've kept my ignorance from being known by too many people.
Very nice. I think that's a seg.
But it's a pleasure. And as always, we give our reasoning for saying that we're not here to hear your poems,
right,
but to hear the best poems you can possibly find, because that's how we all learn to write poetry better.
Hmm. Yeah. Sarah, welcome aboard. Welcome back. Is it the first time this year?
I don't know. I missed maybe a couple of shows, and we haven't had as many shows.
I think it's maybe our second in 2012. Well, good to have you back.
Let me say that Paul's self-effacing comment is totally balderdash, and I'm happy
that
to be here so I can sit next to him and sort of reflect in his luster. So I've been doing the show since it started, thanks to the good offices of Paul, and I love doing it, and I'm happy to be here once again.
Nice to have you here. Stu?
Yeah, glad to be here.
Stu Bartow, if you're scoring at home.
Yes. I guess we'll begin reading?
Should we?
Okay. I have a poem. I've chosen a poem from a book of poems by Will Nixon, who lives over in Woodstock. The book of poems is called Love in the City of Grudges. He's got a whole section in here on poems inspired by Night of the Living Dead, the zombie movie. And, you know, there's the zombie craze going on, and there's the vampire craze going on, and there's, the Hunger Games, and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Apparently there's really some sort of a powerful trend with young people that it would take an entire show to somehow deconstruct it, and we're not going to do that.
No, it's the end of civilization.
Yes,
that
it's the end. It's something like that, I think, so that we could get a new one, because we sure do need a new one.
Exactly.
Anyway, this poem is called Why I Love Zombies. They've let go of their pride. They're not vampire aristocrats spoiled by virginal necks or mummies older than Christ. They're retired plumbers in boxer shorts pulled snug on bear and potato chip bellies, or housewives in dumpy nightgowns wandering barefoot on the lawn, hypnotized by crickets. They're not Frankenstein's monster with bolts in his neck, or alien coneheads with 500 IQs and rotten claw teeth. They're volunteer firemen with charcoal puffy eyes from watching Carson night after night, or secretaries softening faces with cold cream before bed. They're not bikers, hippies, or rednecks, the stock villains of 1968, but young men with good haircuts and worthwhile careers, teaching high school biology or managing a Chevrolet showroom. All good citizens, they're eager to help a young crew from Pittsburgh film a low-budget nightmare at an old farmhouse. Amid spotlights slashing the lawn, they shuffle and groan as cameramen kneel for close-ups. Gunshots to the chest, spikes to the head. They're thrown out and burned like junk furniture. They have no idea one day they'll be famous, terrifying us by being so ordinary. Of course, that's
fabulous.
Of course, that's reference to the 1968, the original.
The original
that was filmed
black and
in
white.
Rural Pennsylvania, and you know.
And you can just see them. You can just see them zombieing along when you hear that poem. It's great.
All right, Sarah Wiest, your turn.
Okay, I'm reading a poem. It's entitled "Rereading" by someone named Vijay Seshadri. I don't really know him. I found the poem in The New Yorker. But The New Yorker says that he teaches at Sarah Lawrence College, and he's the author of The Long Meadow,
right,
which won the 2003 James Lachlan Award. So just quickly, this is a rereading of David Copperfield. It's not necessary to remember any of the details, the myriad details of David Copperfield, to enjoy the poem. But I just want to say that in David Copperfield, there is actually a family who does live on a beach in an overturned capsized boat.
Okay.
Rereading. Remember that family who lived in a boat run aground and capsized by the creamy dunes where the plovers nest? Sea, sun, storm, and firmament kept their minds occupied. David Copperfield came and went, and their sympathy for him was such that they pitied him almost as much as he pitied himself. But their story is not like the easy one where you return to me and lift my scarred eyes to the sun and stroke my withered hand and marry me, distorted as I am. He was destined to dismantle their lives, David Copperfield, with his treacherous friend and insipid wives, his well-thought-out position on the corn laws and the Constitution. They were stillness, and he was all motion. They lived in a boat upside down on the strand, but he was of the kind who couldn't understand that land was not just land, or ocean, ocean.
Paul Elisha.
Well, I brought several poems today, but the one I wanted to start with is by an old love of mine, and both Stu and Sarah know about this love. It's for Edna St. Vincent Millay, who, of course, lived in this area and left quite a mark. It's not known by too many people today. They sort of glance by her now. But I was talking to a good friend of ours, William Smith, recently, who was bemoaning the fact that one of the things that automation is doing and technology, it's robbing us of language.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just leafing through the sonnets of Edna St. Vincent Millay, and I found this one about war, which is much on everybody's mind right now. And this was written, I would say, sometime, maybe before 1930. And it just blew my mind, and I think you'll see why when I read it. But it's as though she had written it yesterday. And it's one of her sonnets. Come home, victorious wounded. Let the dead, the out of it, the more victorious still, hold in the cold the hot contested hill, hold by the sand the abandoned smooth beach head maimed men whose scars must be exhibited to all the world, though much against your will, and men whose bodies bear no marks of ill, being twisted only in the guts and head. Come home. Come home, not to the home you longed to find and which your valor had achieved, had virtue been but right and evil wrong. We have tried hard, and we have greatly grieved. Come home and help us. You are hurt but strong, and we are bewildered and bereaved.
Nice. She certainly made fine poems, finely crafted work.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes something I regret. You get a sense of how seldom you run across a well-made poem. They often seem
where every word counts.
Where everything matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where she makes it seem so effortless as you're reading that, you're really not thinking, oh, this poem has been tortured into a sonnet.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, it seems so flowing.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of internal rhyme, and it's really beautiful, but there's not a forced sense about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
She writes unbelievable sonnets.
And what the words say, you know, on top of the craftsmanship.
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. It could have been written today.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah.
You are listening to the Poetry Forum. Paul Elisha's here, Sarah Wiest, and Stu Bartow, and your calls are coming up, and we'll get to some of your favorites on the way at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, the Poetry Forum. If you're on the line now, hang in there. Your turn is coming.
Support for Vox Pop comes from the New Netherland Institute, members and support of the New Netherland Research Center in the State Library in Albany. Welcoming Leslie Swanson of Wilmington, Delaware, to the Board of Trustees, newnetherlandinstitute.org. Berkshire Classic Leather and Silver, Lenox, Massachusetts. Featuring travelware luggage by Briggs & Riley, silver jewelry, leather jackets and coats, and accessories by Brighton, 413-637-0727. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Women-owned and operated with a combined 70 years experience. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York. Serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available, thedamcafeanddeli.com. Storm King Arts Center, Orange County, New York. Presenting Brooklyn-based folk rock band Woods. Sunday, May 6th at 2 p.m., Storm King Arts Center for admission and concert information. And Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington. Featuring dahlia and gladiola bulbs, pansies, violas, orchids, tropical houseplants, and eclectic gardening gear, wardsnursery.com.
It's the Poetry Forum on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551, the telephone number. Remember, as we get to the phones, we want to hear your favorite short poems by a published, a known author. We're not reading our own poems today. We are reading the works of others. And before we get to the phones, and I promise you, we're going to get right to the phones, we have a few announcements. Stu, let's start with you.
Okay, I've got a few here. This is the Albany Word Fest that's going on now. It started, I don't know, last week, but let's see. Today's Wednesday. Yes, WordFest Communal Reading Experiment at the Albany Justice Center, and then tomorrow night, again, that'll be at 7 tomorrow night, again at 7 at the Albany Social Justice Center. Dan Wilcox hosts this open mic for poetry and spoken word with featured reader Christopher the Poet. Friday night, Urban Guerrilla Theater at the Linda. So there'll be poetry.
We know the Linda.
Yeah, we've heard of it.
Yeah.
We've heard of it. Has something to do with this station, I believe.
Indeed.
Saturday, the WordFest open mic at the Open Albany Public Library main branch beginning at 10:30 a.m. And then a Saturday night at the Valentine's Music Hall here in Albany. The karaoke plus poetry equals fun. Dan Nestor from St. Rose, he conducts that. So those are those few announcements. Also, they're the usual at Bat and Kill Books in Cambridge. I'm not sure if I have the dates right anymore. I think they changed them. It's the fourth. Is it the fourth Thursday now or fourth Friday of the month? I'm not sure. But anyway, you could contact them. And finally, there's Cafe Lena every first Wednesday, 7 o'clock, first Wednesday of every month, they have the open mic and featured poet reader. So those are my announcements.
Sarah, you have anything for us?
Nope.
No announcements. Mr. Elisha.
Well, I have made quite a momentous discovery, which I thought we should make known to our listeners, and that is that there is a marvelous program going on in Washington, D.C. at the Library of Congress. And basically, it has to do with a number of young people from high school and, I believe, college freshmen, from whom are chosen a group of interns who will work out of the Poet Laureate's office at the Library of Congress. Ooh. And they will be part of what goes on there. They will learn from the readings and from the people they work with. And it's all paid for. Ooh. And it comes out of a national program. The information I got was signed by no one less than Michelle Obama herself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we thought, what a wonderful opportunity for some young people, perhaps in the Capital District.
Very nice.
So we're going to find out more about it. And this is done, I think, sort of like the Final Four.
Ah, okay, so there'll
with
be
a series of readings,
right,
of possibly others and their own poetry, and there will be eliminations, and those who are left will get to be the ones to go.
Very exciting indeed.
So,
wonder what the point spread will be.
The point spread here is 800-348-2551. That's the number
anyway,
to call.
Pat Donjus.
Patrick
has agreed to take whatever inquiries come in, and we will see they get to the right people.
Fair enough. And that's pdonjus at wamc.org.
And we will be finding out more and letting you know about them.
Very good indeed. Well, let us get to the phones. Mary and Rhinebeck, you've been waiting an awful long time. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
You're
nice to be on the air.
You are on the air.
I have a poem called To Be of Use by Marge Percy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The people I love the best jump into work head first, without dallying in the shallows, and swim off with sure strokes almost out of sight. They seem to become natives of that element, with black, sleek heads of seals bouncing like half-submerged balls. I love people who harness themselves and ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and the muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go into the fields to harvest and work in a row and pass the bags along, who stand in the line and haul in their places, who are not parlor generals and field deserters, but move in a common rhythm when the food must come in or the fire to be put out. The work of the world is common as mud. Botched, it smears the hands, crumbles to dust. But the thing worth doing well done has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, Hopi vases that held corn are put in museums, but you know they were not made to be, but you know that they were made to be used. The pitcher cries for water to carry and a person for work that is real.
Thank you.
Very nice.
You're welcome.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Mary, thanks for being the first one today on the Poetry Forum. The number to call if you want to get in, we have an open line, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Paul Elisha is here, Sarah Wiest, and Stu Bartow, and we welcome Laura from Niskayuna. Laura.
Hello, yes. I have a poem that I loved as a child, and my sister recently rediscovered it. And it's called The Spring Moon by Charlotte Wilson. And looking online, I found Charlotte Wilson lived from 1878 to 1960 and published in magazines like Harper's. But anyway, shall I read it to you?
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
Delicate, scintillant, crescent lady, what do you seek through the fields of blue? Daintily going through April blowing, oh, young moon lady, may I go too? A dream you walk in your soft blue meadows with a chance-plucked flower in your spun-gold hair and a cloud scarf trailing its silver veiling and a star child stumbling beside you there. Blewett and larkspur and violet purple, knee-deep in the azure, the star child goes. And where are you leading her all unheeding? Oh, light moon lady, who knows, who knows? But oh, I wish that my feet were scaling your floating ladder let down for me. For who would reckon when fairies beckon and the witch moon shines through the willow tree?
Huh. Thank you.
I can think that would be nice to be hearing that as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my mother used to stand in the hallway when we were going to bed, and she would read this poetry, and this is one of them.
You were very lucky.
Yeah, that's very nice. Yeah.
Laura, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We go to Barry in Kingston. Barry, you're on the Poetry Forum.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I think this is apropos by Robert Frost. You know how it is on an April day? When the sun is out and the wind is still. You're 1 month on in the middle of May. But if you so much as dare to speak, a cloud comes off a sunlit arch. A wind comes off a frozen peak. And you're 2 months back in the middle of March.
Thanks, Barry.
Barry, thank you.
That was great.
Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't know Robert Frost lived in the Capital District that long.
Let's go to Danielle in New Paltz. Danielle, you're on the Poetry Forum.
Hi, this is an Elizabeth Bishop poem.
Okay, good.
I love the boy stood on the burning deck, trying to recite, the boy stood on the burning deck. Love the sun stood stammering elocution as the poor ship in flames went down. Love the boy, the ship, even the swimming sailors, who would like a schoolroom platform too, or an excuse to stay on deck, and loves the burning boy.
That's a very interesting poem. Maybe you should read it again.
Sure.
Trial by fire.
It's my favorite.
It's not that you didn't read it well. It's just, I think it's short, and we need to hear it again.
Love the boy stood on the burning deck, trying to recite, the boy stood on the burning deck. Love the sun stood stammering elocution as the poor ship in flames went down. Love the boy, the ship, even the swimming sailors who would like a schoolroom platform too, or an excuse to stay on deck, and love the burning boy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Danielle,
thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call.
What a great poem.
Yes, it's an amazing poem.
Well, why don't we have another round of stuff you guys brought in?
Okay.
By the way, while you're listening, 800-348-2551, if you want to get in, 800-348-2551. Stu, you start off the next round.
Okay. Well, I wanted to pick something appropriate to what's been, in particular, on my mind the past week, the issue where the Republicans want to cut the food stamp program in order to extend tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. And it's so despicably greedy and disgusting. I couldn't think of who. I was having trouble thinking of which poet to would respond best to this. And Lawrence Ferlinghetti came to mind, and then Kenneth Rexroth. And I kind of landed with Rexroth. The problem with Kenneth, this particular poem I like is a little long, so I'm just going to read a section of it, just one section of it. And this is from The Lights in the Sky Are Stars. And this is the one little section called The Great Nebula of Andromeda.
And it's about him camping when he's 50 years old with his 5-year-old daughter. And, of course, he's worried about her. We get into camp after dark, high on an open ridge looking out over 5,000 feet of mountains and mile beyond mile of valley and sea. In the star-filled dark, we cook our macaroni and eat by lantern light. Stars cluster around our table like fireflies. After supper, we go straight to bed. The night is windy and clear. The moon is 3 days short of full. We lie in bed and watch the stars and the turning moon through our little telescope. Late at night, the horses stumble around camp and I awake. I lie on my elbow, watching your beautiful sleeping face like a jewel in the moonlight. If you are lucky, and the nations let you, you will live far into the 21st century. I pick up the glass and watch the great nebula of Andromeda swim like a phosphorescent amoeba slowly around the pole. Far away, in distant cities, fat-hearted men are planning to murder you while you sleep.
Wow.
Ooh. Mm. Beautiful.
Fat-hearted men.
Sarah?
I'm going to read a poem by Rita Dove. It's called The Spring Cricket Considers the Question of Negritude. And the poem describes a cricket singing who gets caught and put in a glass jar for the amusement of children, but offers the wider commentary on racism and probably the black experience in America. The spring cricket considers the question of negritude. I was playing my tunes all by myself. I didn't know anybody else who could play along. Sure, the tunes were sad, but sweet, too, and wouldn't come out until the day gave out. You know that way the sky has of dangling her last bright wisps? That's when the ache would bloom inside until I couldn't wait. I knelt down to scrape myself clean and didn't care who heard. Then came the shouts and whistles, the roundup into jars, a clamber of legs. Now there were others, tumbled, clouded. I didn't know their names. We were a musical lantern. Children slept to our rasping sighs. And if now and then one of us shook free and sang as he climbed to the brim, he would always fall again, which made them laugh and clap their hands. At least then we knew what pleased them and where the brink was.
What an ending.
Great, isn't it?
It is a great poem. It's a great poem.
Yeah.
Can you sing your way to freedom?
No.
Not that cricket, I guess.
Paul?
Well, since Sue opened the subject, this poem appealed to me very much because of the emphasis that suddenly this election has brought about with race relations in this country. And people are wondering, you know, have we really come as far as we thought we had? Or as some people tried to say we had.
It felt like it in the beginning.
Yeah. And as you know, Adrienne Rich, a great poet and a great teacher also, passed away this past week. And I just, among her poems, I found this one. And it's so apropos of how far we haven't come. And of course, everything she writes relates to writing. So this is the poem. The Tolstoyans, the the Tolstoyans, the Afro-American slaves, knew this. You could be killed for teaching people to read and write. I used to think the worst affliction was to be forbidden pencil and paper. Well, Dingling recited poems to prison walls for years of the Cultural Revolution. And truly, the magic of written characters looms and dwindles, shrinks small, grows swollen, depending on where you stand and what it is in your hand and who can read and why. I think now the worst affliction is not to know who you are or have been. I have learned this in part from writers. Reading and writing aren't sacred, yet people have been killed as if they were.
Nodding heads.
Finally,
nodding heads all yes. around. Yeah.
Everybody out there can see us.
Wonderful radio,
heads.
Isn't it? Yeah. We've done it again, everyone.
Imagine heads nodding.
Paul has left us speechless once again. I'll tell you what, let's take a short break and then we'll get back to the phones. It's the Poetry Forum. Paul Elisha, Sarah Wiest, Stu Bartow, 800-348-2551. More of your favorite poems coming up. 800-348-2551. It's the Poetry Forum. More on the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Boyden & Perron, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years, offering lawn and garden equipment sales, parts and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts, boydenandperron.com. Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up, snowfarm.org. Seventh Generation, eco-friendly products from dish liquid to detergent to diapers, seventhgeneration.com for more information. Caring today for seven generations of tomorrows. Bard College, offering an MBA in sustainability, a graduate program that integrates sustainability principles into all levels of the business curriculum. Based in New York City and accepting applications for its inaugural class, bard.edu/MBA. National Museum of Dance, Saratoga Springs, New York, now open for their 2012 season with new exhibits and events, dancemuseum.org. And WebJogger, Tivoli, New York, cloud services, web hosting, hosted collaborative email, email encryption, online backup and virtual server environments powered by renewable energy sources, webjogger.net.
Okay, many people on the line at 800-348-2551, so let's get right to the phones. We go to Tom in New Paltz. Tom, you're on the Poetry Forum.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
Ladies, gentlemen, I'll try not to screw this up here. This poem is anonymous to me, but it's not anonymous. It is famous in the Irish community. It's very quick, and I'll just try to zip right through this, and maybe somebody will recognize it and tell me who wrote it, because I love this.
Okay.
He stumbled home from Clifton Fair with drunken song and cheeks aglow. Yet there was something in his air that told of kingship long ago. I turned and inly burned with grief that one so high should fall so low. But he plucked a flower and sniffed its scent and waved it towards the sunset sky. Some old sweet rapture through him went and kindled in his bloodshot eye. I sighed and inly cried for joy that one so low should rise so high. Hmm. Anybody recognize that?
I don't know. It could be Patrick Kavanaugh, but I don't know. It sounds older than his stuff, though.
There are a couple of people who usually listen out there.
Yeah.
Vincent
Dowling might.
That's good.
If you're out there and you know...
Yeah.
Call in.
And Tom, you got it out there now. Someone will know. Thank you very much for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hannah in Housatonic. Hannah, you're on. Hello? Oops. I'll press the button now. Let's try this. Hannah in Housatonic, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Are we would be the question.
Yes, we're here. We're all together now, so go ahead.
In my school, we're starting a poetry unit. And I really like this poem called Alone by Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
From a child's hour I have not been. As others were, I have not seen. As others saw, I could not bring. My passions from a common spring. From the same source I have not taken. My sorrow I could not waken. My heart joy at the same tone. And all I loved, I loved alone. Then in my childhood, in the dawn of most stormy life, was drawn from every depth of good and ill. The mystery which blinds me still, from the torrent of a fountain, from the red cliff of a mountain, from the sun that rolled me, that round me rolled in its autumn's tint of gold, from the lightning in the sky as it passed me flying by, from the thunder and the storm and cloud that took me from, took the form, when the rest of heaven was blue, of a demon in my view.
Thank you, Hannah. What school are you from?
Monument Valley.
In Monument Valley?
Yep.
You know, a funny thing, you know, that about good poems, and you read it very nicely. It almost seems like the better the poem is, the harder it is to read it fast. You ever notice that?
Yeah, definitely.
What grade are you in, Hannah?
I'm in sixth grade.
Well, all right. Keep at it. You're doing great. Yeah. Thank you for being with us today.
Have you tried writing any?
Oh, yeah. I've wrote lots of them.
Keep reading. Keep doing it, Hannah.
Thanks so much for the call. We go to Anthony in Greenville. Anthony.
Yes, sir. I learned this a little poem going to school back in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
And I've never forgotten it. And you guys are after bringing it right up to the front now. I was listening to you in the car and I was driving here.
Well, go ahead.
It's titled The Old Woman of the Road. She was homeless. And I'm going to mention turf. The turf was the peat that they used to use in the fires there years and years ago.
Okay.
So I'm going to start off the poem. Ought you have a little house to own the hat and stool and all, the heaped up sods upon the fire, the pile of turf against the wall, to have a clock with weights and chains, its pendulum swinging up and down, a dresser filled with shining delf, speckled and white and blue and brown. I could be quiet there at night beside the fire and by myself, sure of a bed and load to leave the ticking clock and shining delf. Oh, but I'm weary and mist and dark, and roads where there's never a house or bush, and tired I am of the bog and road, the crying winds and the lonesome hush. And I am praying to God on high, and I am praying to him night and day, for a little house, a house of my own, out of the winds and rains away. Thank you.
Oh, that was great.
You did it well.
Anthony, who's the author of the poem?
I don't know. I don't really know. Yeah. It was in the school book.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Anthony, thanks a lot. Well, that's two anonymous Irish poems today. That's interesting. Tricia in Weldon, New York. Tricia in Weldon, New York, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
The poem is called Living, and it's by Denise Levertov.
Oh.
The fire in leaf and grass, so green, it seems each morning the last summer. I'm sorry, each summer, the last summer. The wind blowing, the leaves shivering in the sun, each day, the last day. A red salamander, so cold and so easy to catch, dreamily moves his delicate feet and long tail. I hold my hand open for him to go, each minute, the last minute. That's it.
I love Denise Levertov.
Yeah, it's typical of her poems.
Well, Tricia, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
They always leave you wanting more.
And the number to call, by the way, there is an open line at 800-348-2551. If you have a short poem that you'd want to read by a known and published author, we'd love to hear it. 800-348-2551. It is Harry's turn. Harry in Hillsdale, you're on.
Hello.
Yes.
I want to read a poem by Carl Sandburg called The Hangman at Home.
Ah, yes.
What does the hangman think about when he goes home at night from work? when he sits down with his wife and his children for a cup of coffee and a plate of ham and eggs, do they ask him if it was a good day's work and everything went well, or do they stay off some topics? Talk about the weather, baseball, politics, and the comic strips in the papers and the movies. Do they look at his hands when he reaches for the coffee or the ham and eggs? If the little one says, "Daddy, play horse. Here's a rope," does he answer like a joke? "I've seen enough rope for today." Or does his face light up like a bonfire of joy? And does he say, "It's a good and dandy world we live in"? And if a white-faced moon looks in through a window where a baby girl sleeps, and the moon gleams mix with baby ears and baby hair, the hangman, how does he act then? It must be easy for him. Anything is easy for a hangman, I guess.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Harry.
Mm.
Thank
okay.
you very much, Harry. We go to Anne in Amsterdam. Anne, you're on.
Hi. My poem is called Starfish, and it's by Eleanor Lerman. And this is my favorite poem.
Okay.
Starfish. This is what life does. It lets you walk up to the store to buy breakfast and the paper on a stiff knee. It lets you choose the way you have your eggs, your coffee. Then it sits the fisherman down beside you at the counter who says, "Last night, the channel was full of starfish." And you wonder, is this a message finally, or just another day? Life lets you take the dog for a walk down to the pond, where whole generations of biological processes are boiling beneath the mud. Reeds speak to you of the natural world. They whisper, they sing, and herons pass by. Are you old enough to appreciate the moment? Too old? There is movement beneath the water, but it may be nothing. There may be nothing going on. And then life suggests that you remember the years you ran around, the years you developed a shocking lifestyle, advocated careless abandon, owned a chilly heart. Upon reflection, you are genuinely surprised to find how quiet you have become. And then life lets you go home to think about all this, which you do for quite a long time. Later, you wake up beside your old love, the one who never had any conditions, the one who waited you out. This is life's way of letting you know that you are lucky. It won't give you smart or brave, so you'll have to settle for lucky. Because you are born at a good time. Because you were able to listen when people spoke to you. Because you stopped when you should have and started again. So life lets you have a sandwich and pie for your late night dessert. Pie for the dog as well. And then life sends you back to bed, to dreamland, while outside the starfish drift through the channel with smiles on their starry faces as they head out to deep water, to the far and boundless sea.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it, Anne. 800-348-2551. The Poetry Forum. We're in the lightning round now. So if you have brief poems, that's always good, too. It is Maeve, I hope, in Dutchess County. Hello, who's this? Let's hit the button again. Hi, who's calling?
Hi, this is Maeve.
Hello, Maeve. Welcome to the show.
Hi. So my favorite poem is by a French poet. His last name is Prévert, and I always forget if he's Paul or Jacques, but Prévert is the name of the poet. It's called "For You, My Love, For Toi, Mon Amour."
Who's the poet?
Prévert. So, je suis allée au marché des fleurs et j'ai acheté des fleurs pour toi, mon amour. I went to the flower market and I bought flowers for you, my love. Je suis allée au marché des oiseaux et j'ai acheté des oiseaux pour toi, mon amour. I went to the bird market and I bought a bird for you, my love. Je suis allée au marché à la ferraille et j'ai acheté des chaînes, de lourdes chaînes pour toi, mon amour. I went to the blacksmith and I bought chains, heavy chains, for you, my love. Et puis, je suis allée au marché des esclaves et j'ai été chercher, mais je n'ai pas trouvé mon amour. And then I went to the slave market and I looked for you, but I did not find you, my love.
Very interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
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 Plus, it was wonderful to hear the French.
Yes, Tish, you spoke French. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Bye. It's Doris in Cherry Valley. Hi, Doris.
Hi. I remember a poem that I either read or heard some time ago. I am sure that the poet was Edna St. Vincent Millay. And I'm pretty sure the name of the poem was Patterns. Does anyone else recognize it?
What was the name of the poem?
Patterns.
Well, go ahead.
And what I remember is that it ends with someone being gone in a pattern called a war. God, what are patterns for?
Let's
anyone else remember it?
Yeah.
It was so moving, and now I don't know how to find the rest of the poem.
Oh.
Well, probably on the internet, if you look up Edna St. Vincent Millay, if you do that sort of thing.
I could try.
Yeah.
Or just Google Patterns Poem.
Yeah.
Something might come
up. Yeah, that's a good point.
Or Patterns Poem Millay, you know. You'll get it.
Doris,
thank
good luck.
Or maybe someone will call
maybe
it in.
Maybe someone listening would know.
All right, well, let's get back to the phones. And Ellie in Amsterdam. Ellie, you are on.
Okay. The poet is Dorothy Parker.
Okay.
The poem is named Portrait of the Artist.
Go ahead.
Oh, lead me to a quiet cell where never footfall rankles, and bar the window passing well, and jive my wrists and ankles. Oh, wrap my eyes with linen fair, with hempen cord go bind me, and of your mercy leave me there, nor tell them where to find me. Oh, lock the portal as you go, and see its bolts be double. Come back in half an hour or so, and I will be in trouble.
Very nice. Very good.
That's Dorothy
Thank you,
Parker.
Ellie.
Thanks, Ellie. Thanks very much. Kathleen in where? Kathleen, you're on. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi. This is a Chippewa poem. It's anonymous. I don't have a name.
That's okay.
And there's some of my favorite poems, and they're very short. It's called I Am Walking. I am walking to calm and shady places. I am walking on the earth. That's it.
That is short. It's nice.
Yeah,
very
short.
Good.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Do you have any more?
Not on me, no. There's some, like, amazing ones, too, but that was one of my favorites.
Kathleen, okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Paul, you had mentioned you wanted to read three. Now, we have a couple of minutes left. Can you
Paul.
Do this last one in a couple of minutes?
Yeah, I think so. And I want to particularly thank Paul Pines for sending me the work of this poet. She is an emigre. An escapee, I think, from Poland. And this is a book that has recently won a major prize. And I found one poem that, by the way, her name is Lucina Prostko. And she has written a beautiful poem about 9/11.
Okay.
And you'll see why it's so beautiful, because it doesn't really come out and say the things that everyone has been trying to say.
All right.
After the second tower collapsed, the spirits scattered like dust onto windows and streets, into parks. Some of them settled on the curtain of the fog, some frosted grass, some wrinkled leaves, in my hair, on my lips, on the tip of my tongue, under the sole of my boot. They are everywhere now. Nothing is worth the trouble now. Turning the key, dressing and undressing, setting the clock. So when you think, let's make love tonight, I say their lips could still be red, their hair curly and luscious. Their thighs could be still bruised by the last touch. There could still be dreams, knocking about their skulls, behind the eyes sealed with blood.
That is a fabulous poem.
I got to tell you, that is a, now that's the way you end a program. Paul Elisha, thank you very much for being here. Sarah Wiest and Stu Bartow, that's the end of the program. Thanks to everybody who called in on this poetry forum. Fear not, we will do it again. Support for WAMC comes from Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock, New York, honoring Earth Day with an Earth Day Fest April 21st from noon to 3 p.m. Local foods, locally made goods, Facebook, Twitter, and sunflowernatural.com. Mountain Laurel Waldorf School, New Paltz, New York, providing an integrative Waldorf education approach in the arts, sciences, and humanities for preschool through eighth grade, mountainlaurel.org. And the hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice, physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. Health-quest.org for locations. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, who handled the controls. Our phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Again, thanks to you for calling and our guests for being here. Our producer, Patrick Donges. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, I think Bob Berman will be here for astronomy. Stay tuned now for a news update.